David, beginning here on the top of Kufhei Amud Aleph, by Rapapa. Rapapa is asking, Mine Mincha Mahu. If he says Mine Mincha, what is the din? The Mishnah already clarifies the din with regards to Mincha, or Min Mincha. If he uses Min Mincha, Yaviachat, then he's got to bring one Mincha. If he uses Minachot, or Min Minachot, then Yavishtayim, he brings two. The difference being between Min Mincha and Min Minachot is that the Mincha is in singular, the Minachot is in plural. And that determines whether you're bringing one or two. So now, Rav Papa's question is, what happens if you keep the second word, Mincha, as singular, but you make the first word, Min, into Mine, into plural? So he wants to know, in that instance, when you use the term Mine Mincha, what's the din there? Kevin Damar Mine Tarte Kamar. Since he used the plurality, Mine, that means he's looking for two. Umay Mincha. So then, what does he do about the singular aspect of Mincha? Tekula Minachot, Nami Mincha Mikarion. That all Minachot, generically, are called Mincha. Dichtiv Zotorat HaMincha. So there, the Mincha doesn't mean a particular Mincha, it means Minachot in general. So similar over here. When he says Mine Mincha, he's saying Mine in the plural, meaning two. And then Mincha doesn't mean one Mincha, it just means of Minachot in general. Odoma Kevin Damar Mincha Chada Mincha Kamar. Or maybe because he said Mincha, he means Mincha, a singular Mincha. Umay Mine Mincha. So then what are you going to do with the Mine, which sounds like he wants to do too? Hachi Kamar. Mi Mine Mincha Chada Mincha Alai. From amongst the different types of Minachot, I'm taking one of those, I'm going to choose one of those to bring. Or I'm obligating myself to bring one of those. So it's Mine Mincha. There are many Minim of Mincha. I'm Chayav one Mincha of those many Minim. You have a problem with one of the two words, and you have to compromise on your explanation. Otherwise, he has something that doesn't make any sense. Right? Tashma Mincha, Min Mincha. In our Mishnah, it says, when you do it in singular, Min and Mincha, Yavi Achat. Then you bring one in that case. Ha, you would be Medayik from that. Had you say Mine Mincha, Shtayim. So that's the diach we would made out of the first case. Ema Seifa, but we have just the other case right after that, which is Minachot and Min Minachot Yavi Shtayim. Ha Mine Mincha Chada. From there you would have concluded that you would Mine Mincha would be one. Because only Min Minachot gives you two, not Mine Mincha. Ela Maha Lekala Mashma Mina. From that part of the Mishnah, we can't garner any information because the deal goes in both directions. Mine Mincha is not mentioned. If you focus on the Mincha aspect of it, then you would say Mine Mincha means more. If you focus on the Min Minachot side of it, then Mine Mincha would mean less. So from there, we can't conclude anything. Tashma, let's try to learn it from here. Min Minachot Alai, Yavi Shtei Minachot Min Minachad. If a person, when he says Min Minachot Alai, then he brings two minachot from one min. Because in the Mishnah, when he says min minachot, he's using min in the singular, which means type is only one type, and minachot is in the plural, so I'm bringing multiple minachot from a single type. Ha, from there you would conclude that min mine mincha, chado. That if he said mine mincha, it would be one. He says, why do you have to say that? Dilma. Ha mine mincha may be shtei minachot mishnei minim. You can be mitayek out of the language that whatever is said in this language of min minachot, mine mincha doesn't mean it. So min minachot we determine means bring from one type of mincha two. So then you can be mitayek in two directions as to what mine mincha would result in. Either mine mincha would result in you bringing just one. That's one possibility. Or, the Gemara says, the other possibility is that you bring two, but you have to bring from two different types. So that mincha would be, again, something that means plurality, because mincha is a generic term for mincha. And mine says, bring it from two different minim. So that's the other possibility. Or it says, v'halotani hochi. We don't have a breita that supports that, because min minachot alai. If he says min minachot, again, which is the language that we have in our Mishnah, mevishtei minachot min minachad, similar to what we just said, you bring two minachot, but from one type. Mine minachot, so if he does a plurality in both of them, mine and minachot, alai, mevishtei minachot mishtei minim. Then you bring two minachot from two different minim. Ha, that now leaves out the possibility of mine mincha meaning that, because then mine mincha, chado. It would only be one, because you already said to me the case of two minachot from two different types of minim, that comes from a lashon of mine minachot. doesn't come from Minei Mincha. It leaves you only one option for Minei Mincha, which means you're going to bring one. Dilma Hamani Rabbi Shimoni. Wait a minute. Maybe the Braita that you brought, which does prove what you're saying, is authored by Rabbi Shimon. Damar Mechza Chalot Umechza Yerikikim Yavi. Because he believes that you can bring a Mincha Mechfet Anur. If you remember, it comes in two manifestations, chalot and rikikim. The Chachamim believe that you have to choose. Either you bring chalot, or you bring rikikim. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that you can mix and match. You can take some chalot, some rikikim. You can have five chalot, five rikikim in a mincha mafet tanur. So for Rabbi Shimon, there's an easy way to explain mine mincha. Mine means plural, mincha is singular. Which mincha has multiple manifestations within it? So for Rabbi Shimon, that's easy. Mafet tanur. When a person says minei mincha, he's saying, I want to bring one mincha that has multiple types of minachot in it. So for Rabbi Shimon, my minei mincha, mincha de'it be'tre minei, the mincha that has two types in it. So therefore, the deal that you're making out of the braita is correct, that by minei mincha, you're only going to bring one. But that's according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that we have such a mincha, which is a mincha that can have two minim inside of it. And then I can explain your language. Mine, multiple minim, mincha singular. Great, I found the mincha that has two minim in it. Aval rabbonon damrei mechza chalot mechza rikikim lo yavi. According to the Chachamim, we say, mafet tanur, you either bring chalot or you bring rikikim. You can't mix and match them. Then maybe, according to them, maybe shtei minachot mishtei minim. Then maybe the meaning of minei mincha would be two minachot and two minim. The braita, which, if we're medayik out of it, makes it clear that minei mincha is only one, that could be authored by Rabbi Shimon. So then, that proves what Rabbi Shimon would have thought, but that's pretty obvious what he would have thought, but that you can get from the braita. The Rabbonon Shita might be that if it is minei mincha, you'd have to bring two minim and two different minachot, and we have no clarification as to the view of the Chachamim. Pirashti, Ve'enu yodea ma pirashti, yavi chamishatan. He says, I specified which type of mincha I was going to bring, I just don't remember which one it was. Then he brings all five types of minachot, because if he wants to discharge his obligation, he's got to get to the one that he said. He doesn't know which it is. So he has to bring all five types. Minchat solet, minchat machavat, minchat macheshet, minchat mafet anur chalot, minchat mafet anur rikikim. Those are your five. Mantano, who's the author of our Mishnah? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, deloka Rabbi Shimon. It can't be that Rabbi Shimon's the author of the Mishnah. Di'i Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Shimon, he says, mafet anur can also come as half chalot, half rikikim. So then you would actually have another mincha. You would have six minachot at minimum. That's because you have all the five that we enumerated before, plus you have a mincha mafet anur, that is both chalot and rikikim, and there'd be a sixth one. He wouldn't bring five, he would bring six. The truth is that Rashi over here says something, which is not necessarily obvious from Rabbi Shimon's position, but Rashi says it, and so does the Rabbeinu Gershom say it over here, that when he says, Mechza Chalot, or Mechza Rikikim, Lav Davka. That doesn't mean you can only bring it as 50% Chalot or 50% Rikikim, but rather, do it in the Tesha Chalot, Vichad Rakik, or the Tisha Rikikim, Vichad Chala. You can make any permutation you want of Chalot and Rikikim that equal up to 10. So that means you can bring 9 and 1, 8 and 2, 7 and 3. So that would mean that for Rabbi Shimon, there are many more permutations that could come up here. Forget about 6. We're going to find a bigger number, and that's what the Gemara says now. The Gemara says, Inami, Sabar Laki Rabbi Yehuda. This is not your classic usage of the word Inami. Inami usually would indicate, this is another answer to the question. This is not another answer to the question, but rather the Inami here is Apalpi. Even if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that he says that all menachot come in units of 10. At minimum, Rabbi Shimon is going to require 14 different menachot to be brought. So the machloket is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, back on Ayin Vav. In the Mishnah there, they argue about what is the standard size of a mincha. Rabbi Yehuda says that the standard size of a mincha, or units of a mincha, is 10. Rabbi Meir says that the standard size is 12. So the Gemara says, forget about Rabbi Meir, where you're going to have even more permutations. But even if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that each mincha comes with 10, then you're still going to have 14 possibilities of minachot, according to Rabbi Shimon. That is because for Rabbi Shimon, you have a possibility that it was a minchat solet. You have a possibility that it was a minchat marcheshet. You have a possibility that it was a minchat machabat. That's three. Then it's a possibility that it was a mincha ma'afet tanur. Within ma'afet tanur, you have 11 different permutations. That runs from 10 rikikim, 0 chalot, to then 9 rikikim, 1 chalah, all the way to the opposite, where you have 10 chalot and 0 rikikim. That's 11 different permutations. You can see it in the Rabbeinu Gershom. He lays them all out for you, and you can count to make sure that it is 11. But that means if you have 11 permutations, plus the other 3 menachot, it turns out to be 14 different possible menachot that could be brought. And that's what the Gemara is pointing out. That at minimum, Rabbi Shimon believes that there are 14 different possibilities if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. If he holds like Rabbi Meir, that it's 12, then he has 16 different permutations, because then you have 13 possibilities of Mafet Tanur, plus the other 3, the Machabat, Macheshen, and Solet, it's a total of 16. So when he says Inami over here, it means Apopi, even if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who has the lower number, he would at minimum have 14. But certainly, if he held like Rabbi Meir, then he would have 16 different possibilities. In either case, Rabbi Shimon is clearly not the author of our Mishnah, which says 5. Abaye Amar, Afilu Teimer Rabbi Shimon. Even Rabbi Shimon could be the author of our Mishnah. Shmein and later Rabbi Shimon, Damar Maitri Umatne. Because Rabbi Shimon taught us that you can bring them on condition. Titanio, because we have a Braita, Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Macharat, Mevi Ashamo Vilogo. The next day, which we'll discuss in a second what the next day is, he brings an asham and a logimo. This is clearly speaking about a mitzora. The korban of a mitzora during his tara process involves at the time that he comes in an asham and a log shemen. Ve omer. And this is what he says. In mitzora, who, if I am a mitzora, zeu ashamo vizelogo. Then this is the asham for the mitzora, and this is the log. Ve'im lav, if I'm not, asham zeye shamei nedava. This asham will turn into a shlamim, shamei nedava. And we'll explain in a second what the ramifications of that are. But the case here is not clear, because the Gemara never clarifies what the macharat is, what is the next day. Rashi in Zvachim says it's on the 8th day, which means this is a mitzora that has a safek as to whether they were a mitzora mukhlat or not. They had sarat, but they never know if they reached the point where they were mitzora mukhlat, which means then they would require tara, versus if they were just a safek mitzora and they wouldn't require tara. So now he comes, he's cured from the tzorat, and now he needs to figure out what to do in order to become tor. If he doesn't do anything, he's going to remain tamei, and he's going to have to stay chutz l'machaneh for the remainder of his life, because he's a safek tamei, a safek tumat mitzora. So he wants to rid himself of the safek tumat mitzora. The only way for them to do that is to bring the korbanot of tahara that he needs. Aside from the regular tahara process that the mitzora goes through on the 8th day, he has a whole process with the korbanot that he has to bring. So now he wants to be mitzora himself, so on that 8th day, he brings the korban, but it's not certain that it's a mitzora. So he then makes a tnai, a condition, and says, if I'm a mitzora, or I was a mitzora and I need this, this is my asham mitzora, and this is my lo shemen that I'm bringing. If it's not, an asham doesn't come as a voluntary offering. An asham is only an obligatory offering. So now he says, I'll bring it on condition that if I don't need it, it'll turn into a shlamim. Now shlamim almost have the same demon as asham, because they have shtayim shen arba, they must know dam are the same. The same animals could be brought. What you can bring for an asham qualifies that which you can bring for a shlamim. So he says, if it's not an asham, I'm going to make it into a shlamim. So now we're going to in a second explain then what happens with that shlamim and asham and how does the interplay work between them. But nevertheless, what we're seeing from Rabbi Shimon is that you have an opportunity to make a tnai. When you're in doubt, or you have a safek, you can bring something and then conditionally have it work in your favor. So there also, he's bringing a korban, he's not sure if he needs an asham mitzor, or he's going to bring a asham in the deba. He brings it out tonight, and we let you do that. So same thing over here. What Abaye is suggesting is that Rabbi Shimon could actually have 5 menachot. And that is because Rabbi Shimon will require you to bring a minchat solet, machabat, and marcheshe, which are 3. And then you're going to bring a micha ma'afet tanur. That ma'afet tanur is going to comprise of 10 chalot and 10 rikikim. You're going to bring both. You're going to bring chalot v'kifim, like the chachamim, who say, but they're going to say you bring 10 of each, because those are two different menachot. Rabbi Shimon was going to say you're going to bring 10 of each, and you're going to make the following statement. I'm not sure what the combination was of these chalot and rikikim. If, for instance, I said I was going to bring 8 chalot and 2 rikikim, then 8 of these chalot and 2 of these rikikim are a mincha to be discharged my obligation vis-a-vis 8 and 2. The other remaining 2 chalot and 8 rikikim will be a minchat nedava. And in that way, he solves this problem, because he says, on condition, whatever the chovah or the neder I took, whatever combination or permutation of mechet tanur I said, that will become the obligatory offering, and the residual will then join together to become a minchat nidava. And in that way, Rabbi Shimon could even be the author of the Mishnah, because then you'd have 5 minachot as well, 4 of them obligatory or trying to discharge your neder, and 1 nidava because those are the leftovers of the mechet tanur. But in that way, Rabbi Shimon also could be the author of our Mishnah. Now, we'll just explain what the Gemara says, and then we'll discuss just briefly the Balei HaTosafot over here, which is, now, if you make this condition with regards to the Asham and the Shlamim, you have to be machmir on the Korban for both the Asham and the Shlamim. If you have an Asham and a Shlamim, you have to do what is the Chumrah of each one of them in order to ensure that you discharge your obligation. So then, Vo'oto Asham, Tun Shchita B'Tzafon. You have to do Shchita on the Tzafon, because an Asham is Kodshei Kodoshim. It has to be done on the Tzafon. Shlamim or Kodshim Kalim, they can be done anywhere. But we don't know if it's an Asham or Shlamim. So Shlamim in the north is also good. So you do the Shchita in the north. But then you also require Matan Behonot. You have to take from the Dam of the Asham, Mitzorah, and put it on his ear, his thumb, and his big toe. So then with the Dam here, you're going to also have to do that. Even though for a Shlamim you wouldn't need to do this, but for the Asham you do need to do it. It does create a certain amount of complication here, because, as the Balei Tosafot point out, if it was a Shlamim, you would even mekabel all the Dam in a single Kli. An Asham requires you to do Kabbalat Adam the Kli, and also Kabbalat Adam into the hand of the Kohen. You have a mixed Kabbalat Adam. If 2 Kohanim come, and one does Kabbalat Adam into the Kli, and the other one does it into his hand. The one who does it into his hand then takes that Dam over to the Mitzorah, to be Mitzorah of the Mitzorah. So when we say you have to do the Matan Be'onot over here, that means you have to do Kabbalat Adam with a Kli and the hand, even though for the Shlamim that wouldn't be necessary, it might even be slightly problematic. Nevertheless, over here, because of the situation, we're going to give you a dispensation to do that, even though it wouldn't be necessarily the best way to do it, the way we do it normally. Yesh Lamar, Tosfot says, the Tikkuni Gavra Shaini. It's going to be a refrain that comes up. In order to fix the person, we'd let you do this. All these dispensations are here because otherwise the guy's going to remain a Mitzorah the rest of his life. So in order to prevent that, we want to fix him, we allow for certain deviations from the norm. And this will be one of them. Usmicha. Then you have to do smicha on the animal. Now, the truth is that, as far as we know, a shlamim requires smicha, and so does an asham mitzorah. They both require smicha, so therefore the noting that you do smicha on it is not really a chiddush over here. The Balei HaTosafot explained, if it's according to the one who says that smicha and an asham mitzorah is midoraita, enochanami, the word smicha here is gratuitous, because you would have done it either way, whether it was a shlamim or a mitzorah. But the Tosafot offers a position that smicha on an asham mitzorah is only midrabanan. It's only rabbinic takana, and that you do it because the mitzorah is tamei. He can't really put himself into the asara, so he just floats his hands above the animal. He doesn't do real smicha. And for that reason, you would mention smicha over here, because you might have said no smicha if it was just an asham mitzorah, misafek. But now that you have the shlamim, which requires smicha de oraita, so that's why they mentioned smicha over here. And so then, once again, the Tikkuni Gavra, we allow you to do full-fledged smicha, even though technically by the Hashem Mitzorah that wouldn't have been permitted, because of Tikkuni Gavra we allow it over here. And the truth is that a Hashem Mitzorah requires snufa mechayim, requires a wave offering while the animal is still alive. So Tosafot just points out that in Ochanami you would need that in this case as well, just that the list in the Braita here only starts from Mishchita Ve'elech. It's only starting from Mishchita and onwards, but Tnuvat Chaim, which would come before that, would also be something that he would do, even though a Shlamim would not require it, and a Shem Mitzorah would require it. Then, Ur Nisachim, it requires Nisachim. Here, once again, there's no Chiddush in that. A Shlamim requires Nisachim, And Hashem Mitzvah requires Nisachim, so that the Baitos would say, it's gratuitous that it's mentioning Nisachim. Elim Kain, you say the reason it's mentioning Nisachim is because no other Hashem requires Nisachim. Hashem Mitzvah requires Nisachim, that's the exception to Hashemot. So it's pointing out that here you will have Nisachim, not because you wouldn't need Nisachim, but for the Hashem, you need it for the Hashem Mitzvah and you need it for the Shlamim. But for an Hashem in general, you wouldn't need it. Over here, this particular case, you would require Nisachim. Utnufa chazeh b'shok. Even though an Hashem Mitzvah doesn't require Tnufa, but Shlamim does require Tnufat chazeh b'shok, because those are the items that go to Matana l'Kohanim. So for the Shlamim, we're going to do the Tnufa, even though over here, everything is going to go to the Kohen. B'ne'achal, the Zichrei Kuna, all of it goes to the Zichrei Kuna. If it's Shlamim, the Balim would get the Basar, and the Chazen Shok would go to the Kohanim. But since it's also a possibility in Hashem, and Hashem is Kodshei Kodashim, that needs to be eaten by the Zichrei Kuna in the Azara. So given that, you have to then be Machmir for the Hashem, and then you would only be able to have male Kohanim eat it in the Azara, and therefore the Chazen Shok are going to be eaten by them anyway. But you have to do the Tnufa, Liyom Velayla, for one day and one night. That is because a shlamim is a kodshim kalim, can be eaten for 2 days and one night, and a sham can be eaten for only one day and one night, because it's kodshei kodoshim. And Tosafot says that even though you maybe could have made it as a tznai with a todah, which is only yom v'layla, and solved that problem, that then enters a new problem, which is a todah requires lachamim. And there you don't have any solution to the problem. You can't bring the lechem ala safek, because if it is a todah, you would need lechem. If it's an asham, you wouldn't require lechem. So again, we're going to have to be machmir for the tzad that it's an asham, and you'll only be able to eat it for one day and one night. The problem is not that you're giving it to the Kohanim. The bigger problem here is that you're cutting down the time of the Shlamim. Shlamim usually has 2 days and one night. The fact that it's called Mevi Kodashim, the Beit Tzul, you're actually accelerating the expiry date of a Korban, which we generally do not allow. That's, for instance, why you don't say Mizmor the Todah on Erev Pesach, because you wouldn't be able to have the Chametz of the Todah after Chatzot on Erev Pesach. You're cutting down the amount of time that you have to consume the Korban. We don't allow you to bring a Korban where the time period is going to be reduced and bring it to a Tzul faster. So here too, you should have been not able to do such a thing, but we allow it with Tzkune Gabra. Because the person is in a position where he will never get out of this unless we allow him to do this, we give a dispensation to do this, even though Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that Mevim Kodashim the Beit Tzul, that you're actually allowed to do this. Nevertheless, over here, there's a special dispensation of Tikune Gabra, that you're fixing up the individual. All right, so now I'm going to just pause. I will speak about this at the end of the daf today, but just so you note that both Rashi and the Balya Tosafot say that the case here is not like I described, that it's on the 8th day of the Mitzorah, like Rashi says in Zvachim, but rather it's on the 61st day that we're speaking about here, and that's because the case is akin to a Mishnah in Nazir. The Gemara over here never tells you what the next day is, so they're trying to figure out what's that next day. So Rashi and Zvachim says the next day is a Safek Mitzorah on his 8th day. On the other hand, there's a case in the Mishnah in Nazir where a person is a Safek Nazir Tamei, Safek Mitzorah Mukhlat. The person for sure was a Nazir, and the person for sure was a Mitzorah. The only question is, what type of Nazir is he, and what type of Mitzorah is he? He knows that he's a Nazir, he's just not sure if he's a Nazir Tamei. He's not sure if he came into contact with Tumata Mate, and whether now he's a Nazir Tamei, and then he has to go through the process of being Metaher himself from the Tumat of Nazir Tamei, and then start his Nazirut Batara after that. In addition, he also has a Safek, because he might be a Mitzora Mukhlat. Mitzora Mukhlat would mean that he's Tamei, and he has to be Mechutz L'Machaneh, and he has to become Tahor from his din of Mitzorah, or he has to be able to re-enter the Machaneh afterwards, and we need to make him go through the process of being Mitar himself in Mitzorah. Now, if he's a Mukhlat, he's for sure a Mitzorah, that would override the din of Nazir and allow him to shave his head and do the whole process of Tara. But over here, we're not sure whether he is a Mitzorah or he's not a Mitzorah. So then he doesn't have a right to override his Nazirut if he's not sure whether he's a Mitzorah. Therefore, and again, there's a huge Balei HaTosafot here. It starts on the beginning of this daf and runs all the way through most of the second half of the daf. Meaning that's a huge Tosafot. that goes through all this, which is that over 120 days, you're going to have to bring numerous korbanot and do numerous things till you get yourself out of this nazir and mitzorah problem, which is what the reference is to. Mimacharato means on the next day, means on the 61st day of this fake out of the 120 days that you're going to process. Again, at the end of this year, I'll go back over this and explain on this. I sent out charts to be able to see this visually. So that would be then the case here, is this safek mitzorah, safek nazir, and he clears the sfeikot of the nazirut after 60 days, and then on the 61st day, he brings this korban, because you now clear out the mitzorah side of it, meaning that the 8th day of his mitzorah on the 61st day, or he needs to wait another 30 and then 30 days, depending on what the circumstance is, in order to take care of his nazirut. And as Tosva notes, akol echad, safek nazir tameh, safek mitzorah tameh, koyin. So that, right, Rashi says it's on the 8th day, or the 61st day, it's the 8th day of being a mitzorah, which is the 61st day of this total safek. Now, we're going to move on in the Gemara. I'm just going to note now, the next six lines in the Gemara, if you look in the Shita Mikubetzet Od Aleph, he says, Vavi Perush Mirabanan Sovarai. He says, none of this belongs in the Gemara. This was added by the Saboraim. The Saboraim are the bridge between the Amoraim and the Geonim. And they really serve the purpose of disseminating the Gemara, which is that they basically are copy machines. And they start to produce copies of the Gemara and disseminate the Gemara. So that's the Saboraim. And what the Shita Mikubetzet claims over here is that what we're about to read was added into the Gemara by the Saboraim, does not belong in the Gemara. The problem with human copy machines is they think. And so they'll say that somebody misspelled this word. So they'll change the word, even though it shouldn't have been changed. Meaning that they'll make mistakes in what they assume. Sometimes it's helpful. So you see little things in the language which indicate that this is not the normal language you would see in the Gemara. We'll read it, but just know that it might have been added in. And even though he answers in Shchitat Kodoshim, so now first of all, the fact that they mention the Shchitat Kodoshim, which is a way to reference to Masechet Zvachim, again, it's not the way that normally the Amoraim spoke in a reference to Masechet Zvachim, which is another giveaway that maybe this was a later addition to the Gemara. Also, V'afagav dekab mafrik mar, also a language that you don't normally see in the Gemara. So even though that you can see that in the Shita Mikubetzet where he says afagav dekamar mar, that he said the word mafrik is not a usual terminology that's used in the Gemara, which means mifarik, to answer. So afagav dekamafrik mar b'shkidat kodeshim igmar damar Rabbi Shimon. So even though in Shkidat Kodeshim they note that Rabbi Shimon says maite matne lechatchila, when can you do this lechatchila and allow you to make such a tnai, is litzkune gabra. Only when you're trying to fix an individual. You have a person who's in a terrible situation, this mitzorah, who doesn't know what his story is. If we don't allow him some dispensations here, he's going to be stuck as a mitzorah the rest of his life. That's really not a tenable situation. So we're going to allow him, lichatkila, to do things that normally only would be good b'diavad, in order to get out of this position. But he's clear there that it's only because the person is in a difficult circumstance. In other situations, we would not allow you to make these tanaim and to do all of these things, at least lechatchila, maybe b'diabad it would work, but we wouldn't allow you to do it lechatchila. And over here, you have a problem. You're not doing tkune gabra over here. You're not fixing anybody over here. You're just saving him money. The question is, how many menachot does he have to bring? So according to the Chachamim, he has to bring 5 menachot. Bai is saying, according to Rabbi Shimon, we could have a circumstance where he brings 5, if in the Mafet Tanur, he brings both Chalot and Mekikim, it makes sense tonight. And then he can bring only 5 as well. So you're saving him money. But if you can't make that tonight, he's going to have to bring 14 permutations of the Minchat Mafet Tanur. That's not about Tkune Gabra. That's not about fixing this individual. This spiritual individual is just fine. It's just a question of how much money he's going to have to expend to get himself out of the problem he created for himself by not remembering what he said. So why would we invoke that principle of allowing a tnai that's only a b'diavad, the chatchila, over here? Hane mile, the Rabbanan Sovarai answer that's not a problem over here. Because, hane mile gabe shlamim dikame ma'et ba'achilatan. That's because by the shlamim, you have something that is problematic. That is, that you're going to reduce the amount of time you can eat the shlamim. The Shlamim could have been eating Shtei Yamim V'Laila Echad, and now because you said it's a Safek Ashan, Safek Shlamim, you have to reduce the time period that this Shlamim is available. So since you're going to Mimahit V'Achilitan, Ablu Kodoshim, the Beit Psul, that you're bringing Kodoshim the Beit Psul, which is the idea that you're accelerating the expiry date of the Shlamim, which is not allowed, that's why Rabbi Shimon only permits it by Tikune Gavra. Aval Minachot Afilu Lechatfilo. Over here, we don't have that. Over here, there's no cost or trade-off. By the case of the Mitzorah, you're saying it's maybe an Asham, maybe a Shlamim. In saying that, you trade it off, or you're actually hurting Shlamim side of this. Because the Shlamim would have been had a longer duration, and now you're cutting it down to one day and one night. That's a deficit in the Shlamim. You're doing something negative vis-a-vis the Shlamim. So that's why we need a special dispensation to say Tikune Gavra. In that case, we'll waive it to fix the guy. In our situation, you're not doing anything that is untoward with the mincha. You're saying, it's a tznai. Whatever the combination is that I need, that's what I have. The rest will be a nidava. There's nothing wrong with doing that. That's totally fine. You're not doing anything that would have been a negative association with the mincha, that you need a special dispensation of tkune gavra. And that's why over here, even though there's no tkune gavra, Rabbi Shimon should allow you to use the tznai. Because there's no deficit in the tznai, therefore you don't need the tkune gavra. And that's why it should work. Okay? That's the parenthetical piece from the Rabbi Bonan Saburai, which just plays around with this issue of tkune gavra within Rabbi Shimon. So, Amar le Rabbi Papa le Abaye, le Rabbi Shimon, De'amar, mechza chalot, o mechza kikim yavit. According to Rabbi Shimon, who says, ma'fet anur kikam, half chalot, half kikim. Ha, kamaiti isaron echad, mishnei isaron, or isaronot. Log echad, mishnei login. Then you're bringing one isaron from two, and one log from two. Now, the Gemara doesn't really explain what that means. Rashi helps us out over here and says, you made a neder to bring a korban mincha. Korban mincha is comprised of one isaron, and one log shemen. So now, you should be bringing whatever it is that you need to bring from that one isaron of solet and one log shemen. The way that we're solving the problem, according to Rabbi Shimon, that you're allowed to bring 10 chalot, 10 rikikim, and make a tznai, you're actually bringing two separate menachot. You're taking one log and one isaron and making 10 chalot. And then you're taking another isaron and another log and making 10 rikikim. Then you're saying, oh, whatever the permutation was, I'm going to mix and match them. I'm going to take two from here, eight from here. That means that you're taking basically 2/10, 1/5 of one isaron, and then 8/10 or 4/5 from the other isaron and combining them. So your isaron is not that you have an isaron and a log that makes up your mincha. You're taking two isaronot and two login, and then combining different percentages of each of those to then come to a single isaron and a single log. So that's the question that Rav Papa is posing to Abaye. How is it that this works according to Rabbi Shimon? So to my answer is that's not a problem. Shmeinin lei the Rabbi Shimon. We know that Rabbi Shimon holds damar. He may be isaron echad mishnei esronot, v'lo echad mishnei login yatsa. That it works. Meaning that you can do such a thing where even though you were supposed to bring an isaron and a log from the outset to create this mincha, we allow you to piece together the isaron and the log from two different menachot and then get the isaron and log that you need. So, Ein Hachanami, it should be problematic, but we know that Rabbi Shimon says that that's just fine. Where does Rabbi Shimon say that's just fine? Rashi says, I have no idea. The Gemara never tells us. This is a quote from the Gemara, but the Gemara never gives us a source for where this is coming from. The Rabbeinu Gershon just writes, the Shmi'in and the Rabbi Shimon, Bibraita, and a Braita, but he doesn't quote or source the Braita where we have this from, but he says we have it from some Braita. And obviously some point out that it must be from a Tosefta, and they point to a certain Tosefta that seems to indicate that that is Rabbi Shimon's position. Others suggest that maybe it's coming from our Gemara itself. The fact that Abaye had suggested that this was the position of Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to do a Tanai, inherently it means that Rabbi Shimon must have to allow this type of structure, otherwise it wouldn't work. The whole idea of the Tanai would fail. That's another possibility. Or the Bali at Tosafot make a suggestion over here. Peres Pekunches Loit Paresh. Rashi says, I don't know where this is from. V'yesh L'daktek Bin Dekasavar Midat Yavesh Lo Nidkatsha. He says, maybe it comes from Rabbi Shimon's opinion that when it comes to the dried measures in the Mikdash, they were Lo Nidkadesh. V'machshir Shtei Alechem Alechem Apanim Abeit Pagi. If you remember in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon got the opinion that you can make the shtei lechem and you can make the lechem apanim totally outside of the mikdash because they don't have any oil in them. They don't have any liquids that are measured into them. That means that they were never nitkadesh. They're not nitkadesh in a kli. You can do everything outside of the azara and you won't have any issues. So you see, according to Rabbi Shimon, the dry measures in the mikdash were not nitkadesh. So shema minat v'lo chayish v'yisaro mishtei esronot. If you don't have the dry measures that are nitkadesh, then when you're measuring out the dry measures, it's not meaningful. You can take one from two, two from one. There's no guiding principle over here. That's a great answer for the Isaron. It's not such a great answer from the Log. Then we know for sure that there was nitkadesh, and therefore this answer only works for the dry measure, doesn't work for the liquid measure. So he says, I can explain to you why maybe he would say this by Isaron, because it's not nitkadesh. It's not nitkadesh. There's no defining size of the Isaron, because you just measure out the Isaron whatever you want, and you can take it from any combination. So the Log Shaman, I can't do that. That's the Baalei Tosafot's answer. You could see, based on what Baalei Tosafot say, that maybe the concept is that a kli is the item that is mitzareif. And the idea that you have to bring an isaron and a log, and that is what comprises your mincha, is because the kli defines it as an isaron, the kli defines it as a log. But if you don't require kelim, then you don't have a defined isaron or a defined log. But again, that only solves your problem vis-a-vis the dry measure. It doesn't solve your problem with regards to the liquid measure. Right, so now the Gemara says, Umikmatz Eichin Kometz. The second problem you have here is you need to take two kmatzim off of this mincha. Because you have one mincha that's discharging your neder, and one mincha that is a nidava. But they're mixed up. Because you have kalot and rikikim, now you have to think of a kometz. The kometz should be whatever combination you had. For instance, again, if you had eight kalot and two rikikim, your kometz should come off of eight kalot and two rikikim. And then the kometz for the other mincha should be two chalot and eight rikikim. Should take a kometz off of that. But you don't know what the combination is. He's bringing it out tonight. So how do you know what to take the kometz off of it? So he says, Zamati v'amar. He says the following. Ichalot l'chudayu, v'rikikim l'chudayu. If it works out that whatever his nether was only chalot, only rikikim, and that means that'll discharge his nether, and then the other set, whether it's chalot or rikikim, will be in the daba. That's what I said, the kakamitzna mechalot, the havia chalot, the kamitzna I take up on the chalot will be the komets for all the chalot, the kakamitzna mirikikim, la havia rikikim, and the komets I took off of the rikikim will be for the rikikim, because then you have two separate menachot, one that's 10 chalot, one that's 10 rikikim, and you did the kamitzot correctly. Imechsa rikikim, umechsa chalot, amrei, if I said 50-50, which means I have one mincha to discharge my neder of 50-50, and another minchat nedava that is 50-50. Then kakamitza mechalot, lavi mechsa chalot to mechsa rikikim. The komets that I took off of the chalot should work for the half chalot and half rikikim. With the kakamitza mechalot and the komets I took off of the rikikim, lavi mechsa rikikim and mechsa chalot. And then that will work for the other mincha that I'm bringing, which is 50-50 as well. Mar says, what type of solution is that? Ba'abai mikmatz chad komets mechalot umirikikim. You need to take one kometz that has 50% rikikim and 50% chalot in it, but kakamitz mechalot or rikikim or rikikim or chalot. And yeah, you're saying to me, oh, I took off a kometz from the chalot, it's counting for the 50-50. And I took a kometz off the rikikim, it's counting for the 50-50. How can you do that? Gemara again says, Shmeini Nalei the Rabbi Shimon, we know that Rabbi Shimon's opinion is damar. Im kamatz ba'alabi yodo mechad al-shneem yatsa. That's what we saw from Rabbi Shimon back on Samach Gimel Mebed, that if you take off a kometz when you're supposed to have chalot and rikikim in there, so you got brought a 50-50, and just turns out when you went in there and took off the kometz, you only got chalot in your kometz, yotze b'diabad. It works. Meaning that even though you're supposed to bring a representative sample of what you're bringing, if you're bringing a mincha that's 50% chalot, 50% rikikim, then your kometz should be representative of that. And it should be a kometz that includes 50% chalot, 50% rikikim. Nevertheless, even if you come up with 100% chalot in your kometz, or 100% rikikim in your kometz, it's okay, b'diavad. Even though it's not representative, because you took a kometz off of this mincha. So similarly over here, you have the same thing, which is that when you take off, even though you're taking all off from chalot, and all off from rikikim, it can represent whatever permutation that you have, because we don't say it has to come from that representative sample. It can be, even if it's skewed one way or the other. And for that reason, it will work out for you over here. Va ika motar shemen. What about the leftover shemen? There's a different rules with regards to the shemen of the rikikim and the shemen of the chalot. When it comes to the shemen of the chalot are made with basting the bowl with shemen. Then after you put the flour in, you put oil on top of it. You put all the oil on top of it, and then you do blue lava shemen. That's why they're chalot. On the other hand, for the rikikim do not have blue lava shemen. They have mishuchim b'shemen, a mishicha, where you put a min kai. You put the Greek kai on top of them. Let's assume that it's an X, so you make an X with the oil on top of it. But there, you're not going to need all the oil to make the X on top of it. So that means that there's what's called motar shemen. There's going to be leftover shemen. So if it's brought as chalot, there's no leftover shemen. If it's brought as rikikim, then there is leftover shemen. And we have a principle that what happens if you bring mincha, that's half chalot and half rikikim. So over there, we say that you take the excess shemen from the rikikim, after you did the mishicha, you pour it into the chalot. So you give it all into the chalot. So now you have a situation in which we don't know what to do with the motar shemen. After you've done the mishicha of the rikikim, what do you do with that excess shemen? If it was a mixed korban mincha, rikikim and chalot, it should go back into the chalot. If it's a separate mincha, one of rikikim, one of chalot, then the excess oil should be given to the kohanim, because you did your min kai and you're done. So Umar says, as we just described, if you have a mixed me'afet tanur of rikikim and chalot, the excess shemen from the rikikim is dumped back into the chalot. Ikulu rikikim, if it's 100% rikikim, meaning that you have one me'afet tanur of chalot and one me'afet of rikikim, amar motar shemen echal kohanim. Then the excess shemen is not put back in. Once you do the mishikah on top of the rikikim, the excess shemen is given to the kohanim. Ki Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. That's not a problem because we'll hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. So this is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The whole thing is within the Shita. Rabbi Shimon helps us that Moshchan Kamin Kai, you do Mishikha on top of the Rikikim Kamin Kai, that's like the Greek Kai or the X on top of them. Umotar Shemen Echadu Kohanim. And the X of Shemen is given to the Kohanim. Even in a situation where it's a mix of Rikikim and Chalot, according to Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon believes that you don't put the excess shemen back into the chalot. The excess shemen goes to the kohanim. So if you hold like Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, then you can always just give the excess shemen from the rikikim to the kohanim. There's no obligation to return it into the chalot. And that way, you could bring this mixture of chalot and rikikim, make your tznai, and in using that tznai, discharge your obligation for the 11 different permutations by simply bringing 10 rikikim and 10 chalot. And that is what we're describing here, that even according to Rabbi Shimon, you can bring 5 menachot and discharge your obligation. Okay, we're going to stop here. 9 lines down on the top of Kuvav Amud Aleph. All right, now, in explaining the situation with regards to the Safik Nazir and the Safik Mitzora, in the case in the Mishnah in Nazir, again, we've noted that you already have a situation where we know for sure he's a Nazir, and we also know for sure he's a Mitzora. The uncertainty surrounds whether as a Nazir, did he become Tameh Tumat Mate? That was Safek. We don't know if he became Tameh Tumat Mate. And with the Mitzora, we know he had Tzara'at. We just don't know if he was a Mitzora Mukhlat, that he was decided and fully designated as a Mitzora, which would then require him to bring the Korbanot Tahara. Now the process of being Mitaher and Mitzora, if he was just a Mitzora, and we knew he was a Mitzora, is very straightforward. On the first day, after he is now declared Tahor from his Tzara'at, on the first day, he's going to bring two tziporim, two birds, eitz eres, shni tolat, mayim chayim in a kli cheres, and you do the procedure where you shecht one of the birds, the dam and the water, you dip the eitz eres, the shni tolat, and the azob into that dam, and you sprinkle it on the mitzora, and then you let the other bird go free. But the most important part of this is that he has to giluach kol saro. On that first day, the mitzora shaves his entire body, and then he has to kibus begadim in the mikveh. None of those are really problematic. All that stuff can be done without any issue, even b'safek, except for kiluach kol saro, shaving the entirety of your body, because that would only be permissible if you had no other restriction that was existing over here. But here we have the possibility that he is a nazir. And being a nazir, you're not allowed to shave your head, and that is included in all of your body. So now, you can't shave your hair if you're a nazir, but if you were a mitzora for sure, you were allowed to do it. But the problem is that we don't know if you're really a mitzora to allow that. Then on the seventh day, again for the Mitzorah, Kiluach Kol Se'aro. He shaves his entire body once again on the seventh day, and does Kibbutz Begadim and goes to the mikveh. Both of those have the same problem, which is that you have to shave the entire body. Everything else over there you can do, b'safek, and it won't interfere with the being a Nazir or any other things. The two things that are problematic is that on the first and the seventh day, you have to shave your entire body. On the eighth day, then he brings his korbanot, which include an asham mitzorah, a log shemen, a chatat, and an olah. The chatat and olah can come either from a behema or an oaf. It's one of the olev yoreh types of korbanot, where you have two options, depending on whether you're mitzorah ashir or mitzorah ani. If you're mitzorah ashir, you bring behemoth. If you're mitzorah ani, you bring birds. That makes a big difference because you're not allowed to bring a korban chatat b'safek. If you have a safek as a korban chatat, you're not allowed to bring it because there's no voluntary offering. A chatat is only obligatory offering. The exception to that is a chatat ha'of. If it's a chatat behema, you can't bring it as a safek. A chatat ha'of can be brought ala safek, and that's because just one easy part of it is that none of the chatat ha'of ends up on the mizbeach. The chatat ha'of, the blood is squeezed on the mizbeach, but the basar, or the entire oaf, is given to the Kohanim. So in that case, it's easy to do it misafek. You do the matno dam of the chatat oaf on the mizbeach, and then the Kohanim technically should get the bird, but it's a safek. So we'll say it goes out to the Beit HaSreifa after it's tubar tsurata, and the Kohanim won't eat it because it's a safek. But then you can bring a chatat oaf on a safek. So having the possibility of a chatat oaf is important. Olah never presents a problem because an olah can be brought as a obligatory offering or as a voluntary offering. So anytime you have a chiyuv olah, then you could also just bring it as a voluntary offering and you can solve your problem. So any safek will not be problematic. That is as far as a tarat mitzorah. For a nazir who is tamei has to get himself tahor before he can count his nazirut b'tahara. So if he has tumat tamei, on the first day, second day, after he has tumat tamei, there's nothing to do. On the third day, he has to get sprinkled by the parah duma. And similarly, on the seventh day, he needs to get sprinkled by the parah duma to get tahara mitumat tamei. On the seventh day, he has to also do giluach rosho. He has to shave his head entirely on the seventh day. That what allows him to start his nizirut b'tahara is giluach kol rosho, shaving of his head entirely. On the eighth day, he has to bring korbanot that then facilitate his ability to begin the nizirut b'tahara. That is, he brings a chatat, an olah, and an asham. The asham nazir. Then he brings a chatat and olah. The chatat and olah can be either from a tor or a ben yonah, meaning that they're birds. So that also helps us out here, because his chatat, olah, doesn't really matter, because you can bring it voluntarily, but you can bring it either way. But the chatat, once again, is a chatat of, which gives the opportunity to bring it bis safek. So you have the asham nazir on the eighth day. So now, in this scenario, where he is both a safek nazir and a safek mitzorah, what are you going to do? The guy shows up and he wants to take care of himself. He wants to discharge all of his obligations. As far as tarat mitzorah, you can't do anything. Normally a mitzorah would require shaving the whole body first day. You can't do that because maybe he is a nazir. Maybe he's not only a nazir tamei, maybe he's a nazir tahor. He wasn't tamei, he wasn't a mitzorah, and this is his nizirut b'tahorah. So therefore you can't do anything in terms of being mitayer himself from being a mitzorah. So what you do is on the third day and the seventh day, you do hazat para aduma to get rid of the tumat tamei misafek that we take care of. On the seventh day, for a nazir tamei, you would have to shave your head. But we can't allow you to do that either because he maybe is a nazir tahor. He's a nazir tahor, you can't shave your head. So he's got to go for 30 days without doing anything besides becoming tahor from tumat tamei. On the 30th day, he's megaleach kol se'aro, minam manafshach. If he is a nazir tamei, that's what he needed to do on his seventh day. So now he waited to the 30th day, he can shave his head for his nazir b'tumah. For his nazir b'tahara, he's finished his nizirut. It's 30 days now, he's at the end of his nizirut. He can add, you would shave his head to do it b'tahara. But you have to bring a korban. Because in order to be a nazir tahara, if you're shaving of your head ala damim, a korban has to be brought. So here, the easiest korban to bring is an olah. Because an olah can be both what you need as a nazir tahor, also a voluntary offering. So you bring an olah al tanai. You bring in either I am nazir tahor, and I need this damim in order to shave my head, or I am a nazir tamei, and I'm shaving my head in preparation for bringing my korbanot on the eighth day. And therefore, the olah will be a nidava. And then the next day, he's going to bring, which could have been his, the eighth day of being a Nazir Tameh, he's going to bring a Chatat Of Misafek, in order to allow him to begin his Nizirut B'Tahara. Because the Chatat Of is Me'akev, your ability to begin your Nizirut B'Tahara. But the Asham is not Me'akev. Or, it could be the first day of his being Tarat HaMitzora, because he shaved his whole body. That'll be the first out of the 7 days he needs to become Tarat HaMitzora. So it could be any one of those three items. On day 30, he doesn't just shave his head, he shaves his entire body, which will either be then the end of his Nizirut B'Tahara, because he shaved his head, or it could be end of his Nizirut B'Tum'ah, because he shaved his head, or it could be the first day of his being Tarat HaMitzora, because he shaved his whole body. That'll be the first out of the 7 days he needs to become Tarat HaMitzora. And then in addition, he'll bring all the trappings that you need for the first day of a Mitzora, because that's the possibility here that when he's shaving his whole body, that's for the first of the 7 days of his Tarat Mitzora. And then you'll bring the earthenware utensil with the water in it and the two birds and do that whole process as well. So it could be any one of those three items. So now we've dealt with Nizirut B'Tum'ah. If that was one of the Sfeikot, we're done with that. So now you're left with the possibility that he was a Nazir Tameh, and now he's beginning his Nizirut B'Tahara. He's beginning his Nizirut B'Tahara. Once again, I can't begin the process of being Mitahir myself from being a Mitzora, because I'm a Nazir, and I have to shave my whole body, and I have an Isur to do that. So again here, you're going to wait. You can't do your Giluach, or the seventh day, because of the fact that you are a Nazir. So again, you're going to wait till the 30th day, which is day 60 since you've started. And on that day, you're going to shave your entire body. On that day, Mimonavshach, you're going to shave your entire body. If you were a Nazir B'Tahara, then you just shaved your head like you were supposed to. You need to bring an Olah on condition that you do it ala damim. If I'm a Nazir B'Tahara, this is the Olah for my Nazir B'Tahara, and I'm shaving my head. If not, it is a Nidava, no problem. If I was a Mitzora, then the possibility that I'm reaching the seventh day of Tarat HaMitzora, on the seventh day of my Tarat HaMitzora, I shave my entire body, and then I'm going to write away all my Nichasim, and then I'm going to bring a Chatat HaOf Misafek as a Mitzora. So that Chatat HaOf could either be for Mitzora Muchlat, or nothing. You didn't need to bring it at all. So that way you can bring that Chatat ala Safek. So that's how you deal with the 60th day. On the 61st day, which is the Macharato that is mentioned by Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara, you bring an Asham al Tanai. You bring an Asham al Tanai because if you are a Mitzora, and this is your 8th day as a Mitzora, you need to bring your Asham and do everything as an Asham. So on that 61st day, Rabbi Shimon says, you bring an Asham velogo imo, and you do it like a Din Mitzora b'Shmini Shalot. You activate it, you use it, like you would do for a Mitzora on its 8th day, and therefore you bring the Korban. That is the Macharato that Rabbi Shimon is speaking about. Then, now, if you were a Mitzora Muklat all along, that means that you weren't allowed to start your Nizirut. Because if you were a Mitzora Muklat, that suspends your ability to bring in your Nizirut. So that means that, at this point, yes, he finished up his being a Mitzora on, say, 61, but now, he was a Nazir, and it got postponed by being a Mitzora Muklat, he now has to do the same process we did for the first 60 days, which is Safek Nazir Tuma, Safek Nazir B'Tahara. So for the first 30 days, I don't know if you're a Nazir Tameh or a Nazir Tahor. So from day 61 through 90, you wait. On day 90, you shave your head, and it's one of two possibilities. It's either your 30th day of being a Nazir B'Tahara, so you have to bring an Olah to have it be done ala Damim, or it's a possibility that's your seventh day of being a Nazir B'Tumah. And now you're only allowed to start counting your Nazir B'Tahara on day 91. So then on day 91 you may bring your Chatat Of Misafek to begin your Nazirut B'Tahara, because that's the Korban you would have brought on your eighth day if you were a Nazir Tameh. So you bring the Chatat Of then. Then you start what could be the last possibility, which is you are a Mitzora Muchlat, you had a Nazir B'Tumah, now you're finally a Nazir B'Tahara. So the last 30 days from day 91 until day 120, you keep. On day 120, you shave your head, you bring an Olah, so you do it ala Damim, and you bring a Shlamim Vadai and a Chatat Be'ima Vadai. At this point, he brings a Shlamim Vadai and a Chatat Be'ima Vadai, because for sure he was a Nazir at some point, and he's never brought the shlamim that comes from a behema, and the chatat that comes from a behema, in order to complete what he started with the olot, that he brought the safek in each of these instances for being a nazir b'tahara. So he brought one of the three korbanot he needs for naziru b'tahara, and he definitely was a nazir in one of those periods of 30 days during the 120 days, and therefore at the end here he brings a shlamim vadai and a chatat behema vadai to augment the olah that he's brought out tonight all these times, including this last time on the 120th day. At that point, after 120 days, shotei yayin u'metameh l'metim. He's now cleared of it. After day 61, he's allowed to eat kodoshim and return to the machaneh, because there he clearly cleared out his being a mitzorah. So after day 60, you're cleared of being a mitzorah for sure. And after day 120, you're definitely cleared of being a nazir. So that's what the Bar Yitzchak spent time on over here, explaining this case, which is what the machrato of Rabbi Shimon is. Rather than being the eighth day because he's a safek mitzorah, it's on day 61 because he's a safek nazir tameh, safek mitzorah muklat, and that's the day after that we're speaking about, is on day 61, the day after the 60 days, which definitely cleared him from being a mitzorah. He can bring his hasham al tnai of being an hasham mitzorah. And as Tosva notes, akol echad, the safek nazir tameh, the safek mitzorah tameh, koi. So that, right, Rashi says it's on the 8th day, or the 61st day, it's the 8th day of being a mitzorah, which is the 61st day of this total safek. And perish v'chad gavra ayri, we're dealing with a single individual, sheish bo sfeke utalalo, that has all these issues. Ochel b'kodeshim nachar shishim yom, is able to eat kodeshim after 60 days, v'shote yayin mitameh l'meitim nachar kufchet yom, and he can drink wine and become tameh l'meitim after 120 days. And obviously this all assumes that he took a regular neder nizirut of 30 days. But if he took a neder nizirut for 12 months or 1 year, as the Bali Tosafot point out, the Tosefta says, in that case, then he'll have to do 2 years before he could eat v'kodoshim, and 4 years before he could be mitameh meitim l'yayin. About the same series of 4 units of 30 days, you're going to now have 4 units of years. And then the Bali Tosafot go on to bring other permutations of Sfeikot from that Tosefta, as to how many days you have to wait in each of those instances.